This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. David Day, in on a Thursday. Different than a Tuesday. I don't know that there's anything more special about Thursday, but we'll see if we can find out.
Thursday worked the schedule a little bit better. Tuesday, with signing date and a lot of things going on, it was one of those things that...
Signing day? I didn't see anything.
Oh, don't worry. You're not going to. It's not official until they're enrolled in school, in my opinion. But no, there'll be an announcement forthcoming.
Attaboy.
We're very excited.
Wayne State sent him home last night. Brandon Landanger doing really good things for you.
Oh, man, what a big swing of the bat for us. I mean, we just kind of been stagnant and not really doing our thing. And then wham, you know, and that's been our you know, against Missouri Western, it was kind of, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword type of thing. We're a big inning offense. We want to get up there and swing the bat and do some things. And Brandon, tipped my cap to him. He got a big knock when we needed it. And that was a good win for us yesterday. That was really a good win for our baseball program to kind of get off the schneid. You know, you never want to go into a conference series losing four in a row. But, you know, I tipped my cap to Wayne. They're a good baseball team. And Coach Alex Cook's doing a good job there with them. But anytime you can beat your in-state rival, and it's not really a rival. You know, I really noticed because of the dynamics of spring baseball and everything, Fort Hays isn't our rival in baseball. Wayne, we could, you know, our guys, I had to yell at a couple of our guys out there. It's like mayor. They're running for mayor or something. You know, they're all with their high school buddies or high school teammates or, you know, they're all catching up and I'm trying to give signs and, you know. So, no, but it was a great night. I want to thank everybody for coming out. That was a great crowd and up at Memorial, and hopefully Saturday night at 6 we can get another big crowd for our conference opener versus Lindenwood.
Why a night game Saturday?
Because we just kept the schedule the same from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just pushed it back one day to Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And this way they didn't have to leave St. Louis until Friday after classes. So now they'll leave probably around, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock, probably get here around midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning, sleep in, and then do the 6 o'clock thing. So the weather is, I mean, we're calling from rain from now until basically Saturday at noon. So it's kind of one of those things. We wanted to make sure under no uncertain circumstances did we lose any of the games. So this way we bought us a window to at least play Sunday, Monday, if everything happens in the way that they're saying that it could possibly happen and all those things. So it's not great because it's senior day and a lot of those things. But like I told the boys yesterday, you know, we appreciate you. We love you. I mean, I have an uncommon relationship, as I like to say, with this year's senior class. I'm extraordinarily close with each and every one of them on a personal level as well as a coaching level. And I just said, you know, it'll be weird. because we'll do senior day on Sunday, and then you'll show up the next day at noon and play your final game. So, you know, it is what it is, but that's baseball in the Midwest.
Give us something to do Monday.
Give you, hey, there you go. A little businessman special at noon at Memorial Field.
Coming up on the show today, we will also be talking a little Husker. Taran Pettaway, official this morning that he is declaring for the NBA draft. We'll talk with Robin Walshett, the basketball beat writer for Husker Online. Tom Banderas is going to join us, former Husker. Of course, his son Josh has been talked about a lot from his high school days to being a Husker to playing, the not playing, to once again voicing that he kind of likes what's going on. He had the most tackles in the spring game. Bando, a solid tight end in his own right, and he's always got a few opinions. He's fun to talk to, and so he'll be joining us on the program today. But go ahead.
Tri-City Storm.
Yeah.
Big W.
They play.
I'm not even a hockey guy, but since those guys, since I came in and got to meet the coach, and he actually came up and watched some baseball games, and his kids were kind of running around Memorial Field, big congratulations to them.
There's no doubt about it. Game two tonight, game three on Saturday, 7:05 at the Viero Event Center against Omaha. And get on out there and check it out if you can at all. If you can't make it or just want to take the headset with you, of course, the games are always on the Breeze 94.5, and we'll have more reaction on tomorrow's show from tonight's contest. Also, it had to end sometime, but I really kind of thought that the Royals could sweep the Twins. The Twins aren't good, but you got to score runs, and for the first time, the Royals did not score runs yesterday. Lost 3-1. The final game of that series is at 12:10 this afternoon, also on the Breeze 94.5, home of the Royals.
Are you buying or selling Royals stock this morning?
No, I'm buying. I said at the beginning of the year, I think I picked them to win the wild card because everybody just keeps touching about how tough the Central Division is, and it makes it even harder to pick a wild card because usually you can get a wild card in a division that has two pretty good teams and three or two at least crappy teams because you play them so many times that if you beat up on the Twins and, you know, take 15 out of the 18 games that you're going to play against them, that's better than being in a division that is pretty balanced like maybe Boston, Baltimore, Toronto this season and with the way the Yankees played early. But I'm buying it because I know we thought we were going to miss James Shields, but who knows? Pitching is so fickle. I mean, yes, you can have some studs. I mean, Clayton Kershaw how many pitchers in Major League Baseball can you say, yep, he is a difference maker?
Oh, I think I agree. I think that the thing that you're going to notice about James Shields is as you continue to go through is just the workload. He freed up that bullpen. It was always kind of a day off when he would get in there. You know, those types of things. I'm selling Royal stock this morning because I'm concerned if when I sit there and watch, they've had this offensive explosion and everything like that. Offensively, I don't think they made enough improvements offensively to win. I think they pitch well enough to become the wild card like you're saying, but I don't think that their offense is going to be productive enough through 162 games moving forward, because to me that's going to be the question. I hear the whole they don't strike out much, but at the end of the day I don't think that they have the offensive production, but man are they fun to watch. I mean, when they are playing, I got to see two out of the three games when they were playing the Angels on tape delay because we were right outside Kansas City, and man, they do when they get the offense going, it is something to behold. I just don't know if they can continue on that pace offensively. I think they have too many holes in their batting order and too many guys that seem to be having really good starts. Can they keep those
really good
starts?
I know one guy that's not having a good start. I don't know what the deal is with Gordon. He hardly ever gets off to a good start.
And you would think that he would, being a Midwestern kid who's used to kind of being chilly and windy and all those types of things. But, you know, it is a fickle game. I mean, it is one of those things, especially at that level, where at-bats matter, seeing pitches matter, and no matter how much you think you're prepared in spring training, when the lights flip on and it means it's for real, and that was 162. But you're right. I mean, there's a guy who probably would be a 310, 315 hitter if he got out of April not batting 100.
Do you think eventually it gets in his head?
Oh, without a doubt.
Because he knows?
Oh, yeah. When you've had three or four or five bad starts, and if you look historically through his career, he's never done well in April. Now it's just kind of like, oh, God, what does it matter? I'm not, you know, and so you kind of become a defeatist with it. And then, oh, come May. You know, but it's crazy. If you look at it statistically, it's just like the calendar flips and he starts to flip. Line drives start to fall. Some things start to do. You know, I baseball is a mental game, and so much of it is confidence and so much of it is bravado. And like you're saying, I mean, I think it's totally now just a, you know, a mental thing.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out again, 12:10 this afternoon. I do want a little bit more chat here with your program. We've got Damon Day with us here. You come off last weekend, which was really, at least in conference, and I think maybe you thought that the first weekend that you guys went out to Colorado was a little disappointing. This is probably the first disappointing weekend because it you guys are chasing the MIAA championship. Obviously, it hurt. You're still sitting there in a 700-way tie for, like, second place. But in all reality, probably not going to be able to catch Missouri Southern. I mean,
I don't think, even with a great weekend last week, I don't even think with a 3-1 we're going to catch Missouri Southern. We had a bad weekend at a bad time. And, you know, a lot of times as coaches, we want to look inward to what we didn't do well. Well, to be honest with you, I look at what Missouri Western did to us, and I tip my cap to their pitching staff, and really, they had a game plan. They worked their game plan. They executed their game plan. I mean, when we go back through the stats and kind of do all the things, their strike percentage was extraordinarily high. Their breaking ball percentage was extraordinarily high. You know, they had us down counted, you know, which means being behind in the count pretty much about 60% of the time throughout the entire weekend. And like you're saying, when you talk about hitting, it happened in game number one. Then their next game, you know, in game number one, we had the big inning, you know, but then in game number two, we struggled. And then game number three, we continued to struggle. So they just kind of kept building upon our frustration. And so I, you know, we didn't make the adjustments that we needed to make, but we don't usually have to make many adjustments offensively because we'll get to you eventually. You know, we're a big inning kind of, we've talked about it. We live by the sword and die by it. You know, we're not hitting and running a lot. We're not stealing. We're kind of just, you know, banging the barrel on the dish and saying we're going to get our swings in, and that's worked for us. It worked for us last night versus Wayne State. We outscored them more in one inning than they did the entire game, and that's kind of been our MO. Very disappointing weekend, but a humbling weekend from the standpoint of this is MIAA baseball. This is big boy college baseball now. You better show up every single weekend, and you better show up when you go on the road because they're going to get you. We've learned more so than anything this year when we've gone on the road. If you look at us, you know, we split with Northwest Missouri. We go 1-3 versus Missouri Western. Going on the road is a big deal. Playing at home over, you know, you think about it, it's a four-day trip when you go on the road. So that's something that we got to improve upon. We got to be better on the road. We got to do some things that are going to make us better on the road. But overall, as a week, as for where we're at, we're 8 games to go. And if you would have told me with 8 games to go, you still have an opportunity to control your own destiny to host a playoff round, I'd have taken those odds back in February.
You've got Lindenwood then playing at home, your final home series, as you said, and saying goodbye to the seniors, but hopefully a lot of baseball after this weekend. As far as their team, well, what do we need to know about their strengths?
Oh, Lindenwood's fighting for their lives. I mean, they're right at 12-12. You know, they're in a tie for the ninth spot, I think, eighth or ninth spot. And so they need a big weekend because then the following weekend they got Central Missouri. So they play the top two team. They play the second place team and the third place team in the MIAA this weekend and next weekend. This is their first trip up here for us, and we didn't play them last year. So we've only played one series with them our very first year in the league, and that's still when they were transitioning. So we don't know a lot about them. I don't know what style of play they're going to try to do. I know statistically and looking at the scouting reports, you know, they pitch okay. You know, they have some guys that can do some things offensively. They seem to be productive, and if you let them be in spots and give them some free passes and kick the ball around a little bit, they seem to take advantage of miscues. But I really don't know a lot about Lindenwood. It's kind of truly one of those really get to know you series. But right now, we're more focused on what our team's got to try to do. I know it's coach speak, and you know, I should get Coach Harper on here to give me a couple coach good coach speak quotes. But for the most part, We got to worry about what we're doing on the mound, and we got to worry about what we're doing in the batter's box.
Speaking of the mound, I don't know that we've really brought up Joe Smith's name this year. He notched another save for you yesterday. Just talk about how somebody like him is might have to be the important guy down the stretch.
You know, I'm really proud of Joe because Joe had me as a pitching coach his first 2 years, and now he's got a brand new pitching coach in Coach Clapp, and Coach Clapp's done a phenomenal job with our pitching staff. But my style and Coach Clapp's styles are very, very different, and I think if anybody was affected by the change in coaching staff, it was Joe Schmidt. I used to just call one pitch for Joe. I used to joke with him. He's one pitch Joe. He'd just throw the same pitch every single time, and if you hit it, then you tip your cap to him and move on. But Coach Clapp has done a great job of getting him into being a more well-rounded pitcher, and I think that's kind of shown. So I think he's handled that adjustment very, very well. It's been crazy with our offense. We haven't needed it. We haven't really used a closer very often with the way our offense has gone this year. We've either been beaten or we've put somebody away. And so I think the next nine games, if you count last night, because last night came in a big situation and was three clean. I mean, the last thing we needed with kind of how some things have gone for us lately is a walk here, a hit here, and now we got something brewing. I mean, it was 1-2-3, and there was no threat or anything. And that's what we needed out of Joe last night was a clean 3-up, 3-down, no heart palpitations, no blood pressure raising. And so he's going to be huge down the stretch. And when we do get to those playoffs, that end of the game guy, he did a great job at Missouri Western of giving us a chance to win. But when you're the closer and you're already in for your 50th pitch and your offense hasn't pushed one across, it gets tough on a guy who's not used to going that distance. And so we had plenty of opportunities to win game number 3 at Missouri Western and just did not get the hit when we needed it. You know, we joked about it in the 6th. We had a man on third, 2 outs. One of our hottest hitters up. We didn't get the hit in that situation, and I felt like at that time we were in trouble because they brought in their guy, and now we're going punch for punch, and then they ended up pushing one across. So I think Joe Schmidt's just done a phenomenal job, and just what a great young man he is, a first-class kid. And that's probably the one thing I will say about this entire baseball program is I don't know how we've done it, but we got some high-class, high-character kids that are truly fun to coach and just truly humbled to get to coach. They're a good crew.
If you get a chance, there's 4 games, 1 series left for the Lopers. Saturday night, doubleheader on Sunday, and then Monday at noon. Just plan on Monday at noon, for God's sakes, if nothing else. Monday. Who wants to be in the office Monday at noon? We'll be back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and talk with former Husker Tom Banderas. We'll also talk with Robin Washut about Tyrann Petaway's decision to go to the NBA draft and a lot more on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now team launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal! Wins the state championship!
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! You gotta be kidding me!
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll have showers likely with a high near 63. Tonight, we'll continue with showers likely. We'll drop down to right around 49. For Friday, showers and thunderstorms likely, high near 67. Currently, it's 54.
But I believe the world is burning to the ground. Oh, well, I guess we're going to find out.
ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac. We've been telling you that they've got the expansion going on with their new used car superstore about to open. Midway continues to search for talented team members, and you can find out about the job openings and about the benefits and about everything that goes along with working for the Midway Auto Dealership at MidwayCareers.com. There might be something perfect for you at MidwayCareers.com. Might be something perfect for you on their lot as well, whether it's a new or pre-owned truck, SUV, car, whatever the case may be. Maybe something's wrong with your vehicle. Check it out. South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, your Midway Auto Dealerships. Well, we've been talking more about the spring game, and we're going to continue to do that. I think, Damon, with a new coaching staff, there is more to analyze. I don't like to be the guy that talks third-string left tackle in May, but when it is time to talk a little bit of football, there is still that interest level there. There are a lot of question marks about the football team, even with 17 starters coming back.
It's just a comparison game more than anything. Right now, because there's nothing else to really talk about, you just want to compare how spring went under the old regime and under the new regime, and you want to talk about how this guy did this under the old regime and now under this so that. So I think that the coaching change and the philosophical changes that are going on are very interesting to everybody in a football-crazed state like Nebraska. But at the end of the day, nothing right now even matters. I mean, he even said so today. All he wishes for was more time.
Yeah.
That he'd like to have more practice and more time. And so if you think about it, what? They get in, what, 2-3 weeks early before their first game? So now it gets interesting. How fast can you learn on your own type of stuff?
There's no doubt about it. Well, I don't think players ever want to have more practice. And we welcome in Tom Banderas, who now is more famous as being Josh's dad than being the ex-Husker. Bando, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. And that is a true story. I am just nothing more than Josh's dad at this point.
Well, let's just start there because eventually that's going to become the topic. And your son gets talked about quite a bit. I think one of the reasons is we were able to follow a great athlete across the state when he was in high school. Even people in this part of the state got to see him play football, run track, everything else that he did well. And hey, good kid, smart kid. He's got everything that I'm sure you as parents like in a kid, but that also brings analyzation. He can be picked apart a lot more. How's he dealing with it? Not with the new coach, but how's he been dealing with it?
Well, it's getting better. You know, I mean, it was just a bad situation from the standpoint of, all these freshmen come in wanting to play early, and I certainly think that a skilled position, you got like a DPE, wide receiver. I mean, in some instances, even a corner. But I think the closer you get to that line of scrimmage, especially for defensive under Bo, the Mike linebacker position, I mean, honestly, to throw an 18-year-old kid in there from the very beginning was just, quite frankly, it's unfair. And that's coming from guys like Mark Mumford, Barrett Rood, and Jay Foreman, guys that said there's absolutely no way they could have done it as true freshmen. So to throw him in there like they did and then to scrutinize him instead of just standing behind him like they did, let's say, at Taylor Martinez, I think just kind of, the back and forth really just hurt his confidence. I mean, same kid, same athlete, but the 6 inches between the ears, certainly was affected at that time.
What were the positives out of playing at such a young age?
Well, I just think you learned, you learned the physicality of it. You learned big-time football. You learn to appreciate it and know that, hey, I got to get better here, right? Either I'm going to get a mud hole stomped in me or, you know, I'm going to be on the bench. I mean, you know, he certainly learned from it. You know, looking back, wished he would have redshirted that first year, possibly, but I still look at it differently now, saying, you know, hey, you know, unfortunate injury happens. He still has that red shirt in the back pocket.
Tom Adaris with us, a member of the 80s Husker football teams, and his son Josh at that linebacker spot, which is getting talked about not maybe being the deepest position on the football team. Your thoughts on what Nebraska has at linebacker besides Josh?
Well, I think everyone keeps forgetting about David Santos along with the new scheme. I think we've kind of got this mindset of our linebackers, really, since Bo's been here, you know, less Levante. You know, but I think it's a proven fact now. But, I mean, Levante just did what he wanted. I mean, Bo would consistently get up in front of the mic and just say, you know, Levante's got to get better. He's not fitting his run gaps. You know, he just really did what he wanted and made plays. And you're not going to sit him on the bench when he's getting 15 tackles a game, right? Now, obviously, he was a hell of an athlete. He's making the professional ranks now. So, you know, he was just a special player and could get that done. But, you know, most people just can't do it. You got to do what you're told to do or you're going to get yanked. But sometimes that defensive scheme was designed for, you know, a bunch of all pros. I think it's a better professional defense because all 11 guys are well above average. You know, and you're not going to get that on most college teams. You know, at LSU we had it, but you're not going to get that on most college teams. So, you know, I always, you know, used Will Compton as a reference. I mean, I remember he would just take a beating. Well, the Washington Redskins sure seem to think he's a pretty good player. you know, and I'll even use other positions. Eric Martin, who was number 9 for us a couple years ago, that's playing outside linebackers for the Texans. I can't remember his name right now, but he was a senior last year. He wore number 9, played defensive end for us, but he's down on the Texans roster right now. And I know that he took a lot of heat and scrutiny around here. So I think it was a more of a schematic type situation that it didn't allow these guys to just go. You had a lot of trigonometry, I call it, to do. You know, now we're down to just simple arithmetic.
You aren't talking about my boy Crick, are you, Tom?
No, not Crick. No. He just played Josh's freshman year. Ankra. Jason Ankra.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, Ankra. Yeah, you know, and I remember he took a beating. You know, just wasn't very good. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, again, Houston thinks he's pretty good. So we've had some guys that went on to flourish. I wouldn't say flourish in the NFL, but they certainly are on rosters that, you know, quite frankly, the fans and sometimes the media beat up a little bit. So, you know, I think a lot of the unfair scrutiny on my own son happened because of his age. You know, he was being, you know, judged and treated like he was a fifth-year senior when he was just, in fact, you know, right out of high school. So that's, you know, as a dad, probably the thing that, you know, kind of irritated me the most. You know, I think you'll see a different kid out of him now. And a lot of it has to do with just age again. You know, now he's a junior. I mean, he's 20 years old, not just have turned, you know, 18 years old. I mean, it's a big deal at that level, you know. So I just think that this new scheme, at least defensively, allows less thinking. You still have responsibilities, but allows you to just go, flow, and make plays. Because let's face it, as Mumford always says, one ball, 11 defenders, go find it. I mean, and sometimes it is that simple.
Damon Day here, and obviously with the trials and tribulations of being so successful at a young age, what was your advice to him through this as being a player and then also being his father? I mean, you were a Husker. You kind of know what it is to be a Husker. What advice did you give him to kind of get him through all the scrutiny and everything else that comes with being a Husker?
It's just the simple words, hang in there. I mean, it is a grind. It is obviously, it's a wonderful opportunity. I mean, I never want anybody. That was a great experience. And all these kids will look back, it'll just seem sweeter then than it does now. Now it maybe feels like a grind, but you just got to hang in there. It is not easy. I mean, every year they're bringing in new guys. You know, now you're going through a coaching change. I mean, it's something. It's not for the weak-minded. You have to hang in there, keep working, keep grinding. It's never as bad as they say, and it's never as good as they say. You know, you have to almost be, you know, start getting your brand and your, you know, your identity, you know, as this thing goes through. But I think those first 2 years will, in fact, play dividends his last 2 years, no doubt about it.
Tom Banderas, former Husker, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this Thursday. One of the cool things is Damon mentioned being the former Husker. You have, and living in Lincoln, you've had an opportunity, maybe more than most, to watch practice or be around guys that are on the team, have graduated, et cetera, et cetera. What's your feeling and what have you seen from the coaching change?
Oh, I think, you know, my key words I've been using is just working environment. I don't care, you know, what industry you're in talking about, what entity you're talking about. If you have a favorable working environment, you should be able to extract more positive things. I don't care if you're in sales or playing football. I think that they've presented just a nice working relationship that, hey, we're in this together. It's nobody's fault. We're just trying to get better and win some games. And a lot more teaching, you know, and I don't say that the other staff didn't teach. It just, this seems just a little bit more in depth to me. And maybe there's not a lot of that old school football coach, you know, we always remember that's always got to be yelling and screaming. You know, I think that yelling and screaming needs to come in spurts, you know, when it's effective, because when you do it all the time, it becomes ineffective. And these kids at this age, for sure, that has closed their ears to you, you know. So I think that's what was going on. I just think it had gotten to be a bad culture. It originally wasn't, but I think the pressure built on Bo, and then, of course, everything flows downhill. And I think these last couple of years, that's kind of where it's gotten. And, you know, I said the other day, everything has a shelf life. You know, Bo's shelf life was just over. Not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just somebody else's turn now.
Tom, how far is this team? What do you think, as we talked about Coach Riley, just the newness, trying to get everything ready. So when they get into fall camp, how much work do they have to do? What do you think we've got talent-level-wise, scheme-wise? What do you see from the team this fall?
Well, what I really like to just preface that a little bit is there truly was open competition. I mean, that sixth string guy was getting reps. He was getting opportunities to show what he has. What I think that they're going to filter through now, maybe a little bit through summer, you can't really learn too much there. They'll be doing some 7-on-7 with some skilled stuff, but you know, that really doesn't apply, because you know, the game changes when you have the live bullets flying. But what they'll do is they'll get that really that first, second team down, the projected, and then maybe who those third guys are, depending on what position where they need more. And then you just really got to hone in. I mean, I think once they start taking a bulk of the snaps, you're going to see a lot more rapid growth in fall camp over what was this first spring. But no, I think everything looks good. We have to settle in on who's going to be at that offensive line, but I do honestly believe there's probably 8, maybe 9 guys that can rotate in there. I think running back, we're okay. We're diversified there. Anyway, I think it's still going to be running back by committee. Of course, defensive interior line, we're fine there. We've got depth. I worry about, obviously, depth for defensive end and linebacker, of course. Seems like the corners and the safeties are fine back there. So, you know, and then, of course, the quarterback position, right? I mean, I'm going to stick behind Tommy, and what I say about Tommy is I'm going to give him a little bit more rope early than the other guys like Darlington and Bush, because they never had to be deprogrammed. I mean, you know, think about it. Tommy's had to stick in there with Beck and or the old offense. So that's entrenched in him right now. So when he's looking at reads and stuff, I mean, he's still got a little bit of the right brain saying, oh, this way, and then the left brain going, oh, Langsdorf. So he needs a little bit more withdrawal time. Where Darlington and Bush were just on special team last year. They were just looking at a chart that somebody held in front of their face and said, hit the two receiver. So that's a little perspective that I don't know if everyone's thought about, but I still think that Tommy's going to be the guy. And if we can get Langsdorf to get him to hit checkdowns, to hit intermediate pass patterns, that will increase his percentage. It will give him confidence. And I think we can get the move in those chains. So do I think Tommy's the national championship quarterback? Probably not right now, but if we can put something together, we just got to get back into that Big Ten championship game. That's the key.
Last minute here with Tom Banderas, former Husker, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You kind of answered about three of my questions there with running back, quarterback. Are you on the page that the defense is ahead of the offense right now?
Yeah, but I think that that's customary. I mean, I think of years past, even under Bo, you know, the defense was ahead. I mean, I don't know why. I just think that it was. Yes, and again, this new scheme is just different to the eye. It looks the same. It looks like the old 4-3. It looks the same, but the responsibilities are different. Of course, we didn't do any blitzing in the spring game. I suspect that we're going to blitz 30 to 40% of the time, which we very seldom did under Bo. It was more of a prevent, bend but don't break, what Bo was trying to accomplish, where I think this one is attack and let's get some turnovers and let's force their hand a little bit, which, you know, I would think most defenders would just love that angle of it. You know, I don't want to sit back. I want to go and try to force the hand a little bit. Then, you know, hopefully more turnovers and more interceptions and things like that will happen.
You were a frequent guest on Adrian Fiala's show down there in Lincoln, the Legend Show. I thought you probably would have a comment on his passing.
Yeah, no, just a great guy. We had an opportunity to go over there after the spring game. I sat with him, and Rod Smith, who played wide receiver in the class of 83 with me, we went over there from 7 to 8, got to spend some good time with Adrian and, you know, said goodbye. I mean, there was no doubt when we left there that I was actually surprised that Adrian made it through Sunday. But just a heck of a guy. I mean, we knew Adrian was kind of like an uncle, you know, to Rod and I and Fran, and we'd go out there and visit him. And, you know, he was just larger than life then, you know, because he always was a good-looking dude and had them big fingers, and he was just a thick man. But and then he was just always been around for these last 30 years. And, yeah, no, I really, you know, really going to miss him. And, you know, he's in a good spot up there for sure.
And on the opposite side of things, what do you make of the whole Randy Gregory deal?
You know, here's the thing about Randy. Randy's a great, great guy. He really, really is. I think Randy's got a little bit of a problem. You know, we all have our own little problems that we got to deal with. I think Randy just really needs to concentrate and focus on that issue. And once he gets that whipped, and I sure hope he does, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for the kid. I mean, he is an athletic, you've heard the use, freaky type dude. I mean, he is so fluid that if he can keep his weight up and keep that mind right, I think I think on this next contract, even though he's going to have a heck of one here, if he can get in that NFL, keep his nose clean, as I call it, and, you know, sign that next 3-year contract, it could be huge. Because I think he could be an impact type outside linebacker. But if he don't take care of those problems that he has, it could end up being a waste. And I don't want to see it, because he's a great kid, and his dad and family are very good people, and I really like him a lot. I want him to get this thing whooped.
And any of these other guys, Amir, Kenny, and you can name somebody else if you want to, got a chance to have a long and successful career in the NFL?
I think, you know, I just don't know how you cannot keep Amir on a roster. You know, and I think that he, you know, he may not get, quote, as we always say, the respect early, but I think he'll have a nice career in the NFL. You know, somebody will find a way to utilize his skills because it's deeper than, I mean, I don't even say it needs to be deeper than athletic ability, because he's at the top of that as well. You know, but I think the sneaky one could be Kenny, actually. You know, I don't see him as special teams. I mean, I think he's that, you know, kind of that fifth receiver on most teams. And I think he can actually play on the kickoff team myself. You know, he's another one that if he keeps his weight up, you know, these guys are competitors. You know, that's the little hidden gem that I know about some of these kids that, you know, just because I'm in town and I can get to practice and things that people don't know. You know, there's that down deep. I mean, these guys are competitors. And, you know, sometimes that carries a big load.
Well, Tom, hey, we appreciate the extended talk. We will do it again. And because I know he won't tell you, Ricky shot 73 yesterday.
Oh, he's lying again. He's lying again.
You know how it is? He got the money and left right away. You know how that goes.
Oh, I know. Never wants to buy. Never wants to buy.
Tom, have a great day. Thanks for giving us the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tom Banderas, former Husker. Of course, his son Josh, middle linebacker, starter for the Huskers. And just, again, you can talk to Tom for a long, long time. Very good. Has opinions. And that's a good for talk radio, and very knowledgeable, and keeps an eye on what's going on there, good, bad, indifferent. Always good to
hear. It was an interesting conversation. It really was. I mean, I think he brings a very unique insight from the standpoint of playing there, but then also having a child that goes there and let's face it, came in with a tremendous amount of hype, and like he said, was kind of scapegoated on some things, or feels like he was scapegoated on some things. But just as a novice fan of Husker football, the kid did get picked on by the media and picked on a lot picked out a lot on doing certain things the right way or the wrong way. And so that's why I asked him just the question of, what was your advice as a dad? Because I'm sure that there's a...
So is that were you asking that as a dad, as a coach?
Oh, as a dad.
Yeah.
As a dad. As a coach, I didn't even hear a word that he said, because you just parent speak just goes in one ear and out the other, even if they are knowledgeable about what you're talking about. Because I always joke with parents, and even I've had this conversation, you're not at practice every day. Like, your thought process of your son is somewhere in the middle of what it really is. You know, you think he's, you know, ripping down walls and getting after it every single day, and you know, rarely is that the case. So the parental side of their opinions, I don't take much. But as a dad, I was listening intently.
We're going to take a break, and Robin Walsh is going to join us from Husker Online to chat a little bit about what's going on with Nebraska basketball and the concerns, and Taran Pettaway officially declaring for the NBA draft. We'll do it after this.
The South Heartland District Health Department wants you to help us become the healthiest nation in one generation. Nationally, public health has seen successes like increasing life expectancy and reducing infant mortality. The United Health Foundation places Nebraska 10th in the United States in overall health ranking, but we still face challenges to do better. Take a pledge to do your part to eat well, exercise, and make healthy choices. Together, we can build healthy communities. Together, we can help create the healthiest nation in one generation. This message is from the South Heartland District Health Department, because they care about you and your loved ones.
I can't wait for summer. I have so many cool things I want to do.
I want to do something cool too this summer, but I don't know what there is to do.
You should come with me to Hilltop Mall's Summer Activity Sign-Up Event. They are going to have organizations from around town with information about activities, clubs, sports, camps, and lots of other stuff. You can learn about and sign up for summer activities all right there at the mall.
Find summer activities for you and the whole family at Hilltop Mall's Summer Sign-Up Event, Saturday, April 18th, 1 to 4.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
Hi, Bo here from your locally owned and operated Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. At 80 years young, GNC continues to be the world's leading nutrition and supplement provider with guaranteed product purity, potency, bioavailability, and pricing on everything in the store. Don't settle for second best. Trust the company and products with over 80 years of experience to meet and exceed your health and wellness goals. Only at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
GNC, 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 GNC.
Hey, Nebraska, if you need new tires for safe spring driving, now's the time to save 25% at Big O Tires. Through April 25th, when you buy three tires, you'll get the fourth tire free. That's an instant 25% off a set of high mileage, passenger, performance, SUV, light truck, and crossover tires. You'll save up to $200 on your next set of tires in both Kearney and Grand Island when you buy three and get the fourth free, only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Damon Day. He's going to slide out here in a little bit because Loper Lunch is going on today. It's the final one of the UNK season up at the Health and Sports Center.
Final Loper Luncheon of the year.
Get on up there, enjoy some good food, and hear from the Loper coaches coming off spring letter of intent signing day. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We're into the playoffs. We asked who you got in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Playoffs?
And a majority went with the New York Rangers, 45%. little hometown St. Louis Blues or Central United States. St. Louis Blues, 33%. Not as many votes for Anaheim or Montreal. Of course, my Nashville Predators, not mine, but that's who I picked yesterday because I had to take something out of a hat. They got hosed in double overtime. But, you know, that's why it's a seven-game series.
Playoffs?
Today, we ask you about the NBA. Who you got? And we give you six choices. Hawks, Cavs, Bulls, and in the West, Warriors, Rockets, Clippers, and
come on, Cavs.
You might even take the Spurs.
Going to make it happen. Come on, Cavs.
I think they're going to get there.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think
this is the year
Golden State
the Cleveland drought ends.
I hope Golden State gets there. They deserve to get there. I don't dislike the Spurs, but it's time for them to go away and let some new blood get in there.
On a completely inappropriate note, you'll love this one. My brother, who lives in Cleveland, sends me after the Aaron Hernandez, and we shouldn't be making jokes about something that serious, but it was like a fake newspaper clipping about, hey, it was like making fun of the GM of the Browns, like, hey, I think we could sign the tight end from New England. No. But it was so funny that that's like the mockery that the Browns have become. Like this huge newspaper article about how, hey, we might be able to get this guy on the cheap from New England. And it's just like, you know, and then Manziel's just getting out. So the Cavs.
But you got new unis.
Don't even talk to that is the most disgraceful thing that has ever happened in the National Football League from the standpoint of how do you ruin tradition like that? Blasphemy.
Our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Vote at ESPNSuperStation.com. Robin Washington of Husker Online, patiently standing by. Who you got in the NBA championship this year, Rob?
I got to go with Golden State. When they're on, there's nobody in the league that can beat them. So if they can keep that up, they're shoo-in.
Most threes you've ever made in a row is?
I don't want to say, but it's above three.
There you go. I think my official total is 8 or 9. I don't remember.
Dang.
It's one of the two. But it's pretty cool. I got a story, and I'm going to bore you with it. We were doing state tournament, and it was in between sessions, and I was calling like the whatever it was, the 4:30 or the 5 o'clock game, and somehow there was three or four of us just sitting around with the teams waiting, you know, in that two-hour dead period. And so I was at Devaney, just moved around the arc, knocked down whatever it was, 8 or 9 in a row, and I said, that's enough. I'm cool. That's all I need.
I think you should
just had to show everybody you still got it.
That's probably the highlight of my career.
I think you should do a Make-A-Wish fundraiser on that. Go out and get sponsors for every shot that you make.
Yeah, but how long can I take? I'm not going to make 9 in a row ever again.
We'll do it like at the Health and Sports Center. No, we'll do it at First Bank Arena.
We'll do it wherever.
At halftime.
Wherever you want,
in front of 40,000 people.
Yeah, thanks. Terran Petaway officially declares for the NBA draft this morning. Not a real surprise, was it, Robin?
No, not at all. In fact, I think the writing was on the wall for this one, you know, basically before the season even ended. So, you know, there's some talk about whether, you know, the passing of his mother this last week would change things, you know, because that was obviously a pretty big factor in his decision, but I think he had already made his mind up on that and, you know, kind of realized that this was probably the best move to make, you know, maybe not necessarily from a basketball standpoint, but from a personal standpoint for him and his family.
We're Damon Day here. Where is he going to go? I mean, is he going to get drafted? Is he going to be unsigned? Where's his draft stock at right now, according to your sources?
Yeah, I mean, most of the legitimate mock drafts you see, you know, not only don't have them going drafted, but, you know, don't even have them in the top 100 players for the 2015 class. So I think it's a very, very, very minimal chance, if at all, that he gets drafted. You know, there's still a chance that he could sign on, like you said, as an undrafted free agent. You know, there's the D League, but and I think probably the more likely scenario is to go play overseas. You know, that seems to be a route that, you know, a lot of kind of those tweener college players make. And again, it'll give him a chance to go and, you know, make some money, you know, help support his family. And, you know, he'll have his diploma in hand. So he's already got his academics taken care of. So it just kind of seemed like the time was right for him to move on to a professional career.
Robin Walsh at Husker Online. And yeah, we talked about that last week when his mother had passed about that. kind of a thing in your life can change the way you view things like this. But he was going to and is going to get his degree in May. That is way different than most of the guys that declare early.
Yeah, and that, again, like he's not your traditional guy that's going to jump to the pros early. You know, he's a fourth year player that has gone through quite a path. I mean, playing 1 year at Texas Tech and completely disliking it, and moving to Nebraska, and having to sit out a full year, and then playing the two seasons that he had, and then how rough last year was for him emotionally. I think it was just one of those points in his life where I think he was kind of done with the college game. Now he still wants to play, and I don't blame him for wanting to go make some money to do it.
Robin, I'll just change the quote from Vince Lombardi just a little bit when I'm asking you this question about Nebraska men's basketball, but what the hell is going on down there?
Well, unfortunately, what's happening in Nebraska is kind of par for the course in college basketball now. The amount of turnover each season across the country is pretty staggering. I mean, you look at the current transfer list that's been put together by a couple of outlets, that's approaching 500 names already, and it's only going to keep growing. And it might even be close to 600 by the time the summer's over. So Nebraska is certainly dealing with quite a bit of turnover. I mean, I think you're losing seven players that were in the rotation last year to graduation or transfer or leaving to the pros early. So, but again, that's just kind of the reality that is college basketball nowadays. It's almost a waiver wire type situation where guys, aren't necessarily tied into playing for the same university when they can see an opportunity to play and, have a much bigger role somewhere else. They're going to go ahead and take it. So it's some people have referred to it as an epidemic, and I think it's just kind of the way things are today that there's really no patience anymore to try and earn your role over the course of your career, just because you're always going to have an opportunity somewhere else to be the guy right away.
Robin, whether it's your opinion or if you know it as fact, why the many departures? Let's say Turan had planned on going the whole time and he's got everything in order, and I don't know the order. If the other guys knew that Turan was leaving and that the ship was sinking, or they thought it was time to go, or if it was vice versa. But Pitchford, Smith, I mean, what's the real story here?
Yeah, I don't think Terrence Smith or Walter Pitchford's decision had a lot to do with what Turan Pettaway was going to do. I think both of those guys had kind of their own personal reasons why they wanted to move on. As far as Terrence Smith's concerned, I think that he was kind of turned off by the way last season ended. Granted, he was seeing a lot of playing time, but kind of fluctuating in and out of the starting lineup with Benny Parker. I don't think that he and his family kind of thought that that's the way his role should have shaped out as the year went on. And then looking ahead to next season, I think the reality is that Glenn Watson, the four-star commit they have coming in the fall, is going to have a really legitimate chance to be a day-one starter. And so I think he probably looked at that as, competition that, he didn't think that he needed to have, with the year that he had. So I think that they just figured the grass was greener somewhere else. And I think that his camp and the coaching staff didn't necessarily agree on, what Terran's role should be going forward, and decided it was best to part ways. And for Walter, that was really kind of weird how that all went down with the release that the university put out and the joint statements made by Walton, Tim Miles, talking about how courageous it was for him to give up basketball to focus on other aspirations, and then 2 days later he's declaring for the NBA draft. So obviously I think that there's more to the story there. I guess I don't know exactly kind of what all went down, but I think that it was kind of a thing where they wanted to come off as kind of a mutual decision to part ways, and Walt wasn't quite ready to give basketball up. And so he declared for the draft, but he has less of a chance to make it than Pettaway as far as the NBA. So but when you do that, you kind of just put your name out there for everyone, including international leagues, that you're not planning on returning to college next season. So I'm sure he'll find a spot somewhere in some European league. and Turan will be able to make some money.
Maybe Pitchford will be the next Mikey Moore. You don't hear about him, and then all of a sudden, there he is.
Mikey was good. He played a long time in the league.
No doubt.
I don't know. I see him playing somewhere, you know, overseas where, you know, big men are, you know, expected to stand behind the three-point line and shoot three-pointers.
Couple minutes left with Robin Washington Husker Online. Spring signing day. Tell me about Bakari Evelyn, who was a commit here just this week. Looks like he's going to come in and take over the point, and then Jack McVay out of Australia.
Yeah, McVay is a kid that has committed, you know, back in the fall, in the winter. And, you know, so he's been on board for a while. He's a 6'8" athletic scorer. Needs to put on a little bit of weight, you know, before he can truly hold his own at the Big Ten level. But you know, what's interesting about him is because the academic calendars are so different down in Australia that he actually already graduated before he even committed. So he spent most of this past year training and get in the weight room and working out with some pretty high level Australian competition. There's a guy named Dante Exum, who was the fifth overall pick by the Utah Jazz a year or two ago. And McVay worked one-on-one with him a lot at the Australian Institute of Sport. So he's been playing with some of the best players out there and basically dedicating himself to getting bigger and stronger and, ready to hit the ground running when he gets here. So I think that he's a guy that for sure will be able to, have some sort of immediate impact next season. And Bakari Everly, he's an interesting guy because, he kind of came out of nowhere. It was reported that he was going to come visit just before the spring game, like a few days before his visit happened. And then, a few days after that, he's committed. So things really move fast with him. But he's a guy that is basically going to replace Terrence Smith. They have a similar skill set. I don't know if he's quite as athletic as Taren is, but I think he might be a better scorer, especially if a perimeter shooter. So he's going to play, and he's going to have a backup role, I'm sure, just because Glenn Watson is clearly the starting point guard, in my opinion. If it happens at day one, it's only going to be a matter of time before he passes up Benny Parker. Just because he's a guy that they got to get on the floor as soon as possible. So those two guys, when you look at every one of these freshmen, I don't think there's a chance that they're going to redshirt just because I don't think Nebraska has that luxury just because of the amount of players they lost from last season's rotation.
So, Robin, as it stands, what type of basketball team does Tim Miles have next year?
That's a great question. they have literally wiped the slate clean, outside of Siobhan Shields and Benny Parker. There's really going to be a whole bunch of new faces, and they're going to be relying on this incoming group, not only the freshmen, but especially Andrew White, Kansas transfer, to live up to their billing. I mean, this recruiting class has gotten a lot of hype, potentially one of the best Nebraska's ever assembled, and they're going to have to live up to it for this team to have any chance, because they're going to be counting on some young guys to be able to hold their own right away and maybe one of the toughest conferences in college basketball. And it's been done before, but time will tell if this group is up for the challenge.
Your opinion, is Tim Miles, I'm not saying in trouble, but are there problems behind the scenes? Everything was all, roses and peaches and cream last year, or at least it seems so on the surface. Is there more that we need to know?
Well, it's a tough deal because, that second year when they made the NCAA tournament, I think really raised the bar and the expectations around the program. And I think most people would tell you that they were a year ahead of schedule. And so, they had the success, unexpectedly during that season, which really hadn't been going all that well until that late charge they made in February and March. So that kind of, I think, put things out of perspective a little bit for, what it's going to take to rebuild this program into a consistent winner. And then, of course, they didn't really change at all and make up for any of the deficiencies they had this past season. And for whatever reason, the train just fell off the tracks. And so I don't think that you can say that he's on a hot seat by any means, but they can't have another year like they did a season ago. That was unexpected, but it was unacceptable as well, just because of the resources you have in Nebraska and the amount of support that's been put into that program by the university and the athletic department, I mean, you got to see some results. So we're going into year four here, and the fact that we're talking about a completely fresh start and rebuilding here, it's kind of a bit of a red flag. But again, if these young guys that they have coming in, and this class was the one that they capitalized off that NCAA tournament run with, if they can live up to the hype and produce, then you know maybe we're talking about the beginning of a new era of Nebraska basketball success.
Robin Washit, Husker Online. Taran Petaway officially declares for the NBA draft this morning. And I'll let you out of here with this, Robin, because I saw you at the spring game. Your thoughts right now on what you've seen with the football team? Not you know, you can take it from here, but with the new coaches, offense, defense, I mean, what's stuck out to you now that spring ball's over?
Yeah, I think just for, with anything, it's it seems like everyone you talk to just talks about how you know, comfortable they are, you know, not only just with the relationship with the coaching staff, but with the system. You know, the spring obviously was kind of, you know, vanilla and scaled back with just kind of getting the basics, but, you know, a perfect example of just, you know, how guys are kind of able to thrive in this, you know, you don't want to call it a simple system, but, you know, simpler from what they were having to do under Bo is Josh Banderas. He's probably, you know, one of the best players, you know, in the back end of that defense. And we're talking about somebody that after the spring game said he was thinking about transferring if, you know, the old staff had been retained. So there's certain guys that are kind of flourishing with this, you know, change of scenery and change of leadership that I think has been encouraging. But still, it's pretty clear from watching that spring game that they have a long way to go. And their offense is nowhere near completely installed, and they still have a lot of questions at quarterback and some depth concerns, you know, at linebacker and at center and some other positions. So I think that there's reason for optimism that, you know, I think the program is in good hands with Mike Riley and his staff. You know, he's done all the right things, said all the right things, but the real test will be, you know, how they handle themselves, you know, when things aren't all sunshine and flowers, you know, when if you lose a game or two in November and then, you know, the fans start to murmur and, you know, groan against you. So it's still too early to really, you know, kind of say one way or another what this team is going to be. But I think most people would agree that from what we've seen, you know, over the last month, you got to be encouraged with where things are headed.
Well, we'll let you get back to your day, Robin. Always appreciate the insight and really good knowledge there on the new players coming in. So we'll see you along the road somewhere.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Take care, Robin Washit, Husker Online, joining us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We will take a break and wrap up the show after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here, give here.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get meaty St. Louis-style pork spare ribs, only $2.97 a pound. A 5-pound bag of 80% lean ground beef, only $2.98 a pound. And 3 pounds of hickory smoked thick sliced bacon, only $8.99 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At three times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating. Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
They've seen the tape.
From the shotgun, Winston.
They've heard from the players.
This is one thing that happens once in a life.
The outside opinions are unavoidable.
I think he has an Aaron Rodgers-like stroke.
Could this be the player, that franchise player?
Coach Select, Andrew Luck.
Or the players that set your franchise back for years?
Second choice, Ryan Leaf.
The NFL Draft. Round 1, Thursday, April 30th. Rounds 2 and 3, Friday, May 1st on ESPN Radio.
I got my first real sister.
Back at Daddy's show, wrapping things up on this Thursday edition. Jim Langan in tomorrow, and we'll be talking a little bit more football, kind of putting the bow on spring football for the Big Ten and the Huskers. We'll also be hearing more on this afternoon's sports about that. Jordan Westerkamp and Mike Riley were part of a Big Ten conference call yesterday. The West teams went yesterday. The East teams are going today. Our big boy Drew Ott had some words about Jake Rudock transferring as a quarterback from Iowa, who had been their starter, but fell at the end of the season to Beathard. And so that's kind of a story in Iowa. And Drew Ott had some thoughts about it. And I think the quote was, "I thought he had more fight in him than that." So wonder if that's now bygones or bygones at Iowa, because they're going to be moving on there. Again, Tri-City Storm hockey tonight, 7:05 at the Viero Event Center. Clark Cup Game 2 against Omaha. And again, the Breeze 94.5 will have all the action. Royals baseball just getting underway right now on the Breeze. Again, weather permitting for all of these events, Hastings College softball is scheduled to host Bellevue this afternoon. Yesterday, the baseball team fell to York, but baseball is home Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They'll have five games in that amount of time. Tonight in Grand Island is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Tim Tebow, Heisman Trophy winner, is the keynote speaker. That gets underway at 7:30 at the Heartland Events Center. I'm sure that will be very well attended as well. High school soccer, it's Kearney Grand Island. Rain won't affect it on the turf at Foster Field, so they'll have that girls and boys doubleheader later on this afternoon. Also scheduled for today, Lexington traveling to Hastings. Grand Island Central Catholic at Lincoln Pius X. The Central Conference soccer tournament begins today, and then the semifinals and finals are Saturday in Schuyler. For the boys, Holdridge is at York today. Northwest receives the first round bye. For the girls, Northwest is at Seward, and Holdridge will be at Columbus Lakeview. Also, the Heartland Athletic Conference baseball tournament scheduled to get underway today at Ryder Park with Lincoln Southwest and Lincoln Northeast, followed by Grand Island and Lincoln East. Not sure how the precipitation right now is affecting that. The other half of the bracket being played down at Sherman Field, and they will continue that today and tomorrow with the championship down in Lincoln scheduled for tomorrow. There's also a little track scheduled for today over at Gothenburg. They've got the Zorn Invitational and the Dick Jones Invite at Omaha Central, always one of the big ones that Kearney attends each and every year. And that's going to wrap things up for us here on a Thursday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, thanks to Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, for sliding in. He had to slide out early to go to the Loper Luncheon. We appreciate his time. Tom Banderas, former Husker, with his insight as he keeps an eye close to the Nebraska football program. And, of course, Robin Washit from Husker Online to discuss what's going on with Nebraska basketball and the announcement this morning that Teran Pettaway officially is headed to the NBA. Whether he will sit down for a press opportunity, we do not know because he is still obviously in Texas with his family. The funeral for his mother was just this past Tuesday. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us. Should be another great Friday program tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Jim Langan, as we said, in as our co-host, and we will see you then on the Doug and Daddy Show.